Well, boys and girls, I'm sure you all know that it's Christmas time. If you haven't gathered that by now, well then, you'll gather that today. I want to ask you a few questions. And you can put your hands up and you can tell me, what do you like about Christmas time? What's your favourite thing about Christmas time? Jake? Jesus' birthday, yes, very good. Somebody else? Oliver? No school? Yes. I don't know if mum and dad like that, but certainly the boys and girls like that. Kai? The snow? Yes, we haven't had any of that this year. Hopefully we might. Maybe not, but some other things. Can anybody tell me anything else that they like about Christmas? Emily? Giving presents, yes. And getting presents as well is good. Anybody else? Any other Christmas traditions in your family that you like? No. Well, you didn't mention it, but there are a few other things. For example, Christmas jumpers. And then there's one thing that I'm sure that we all love to do. And that is that we love to have one of these in our house. I see some of you now, you're smiling, you forgot about this. Can anybody tell me what this is? Mason. Christmas tree. Very, very good. Christmas tree. And you see there are some things here in this Christmas tree. It's quite poorly decorated, if I'm honest. This picture. Maybe can any of you tell me, and we'll open this up to mum and dad as well. You can put your hand up and answer. Can anybody tell me some of the things that you might put on your Christmas tree? Somebody from the front row. You're all sleeping in the front row. Other than Emily and Oliver. Some of them are there. Yes, Sophia. Christmas lights. Very good. Somebody else? Have none of you decorated a tree this year? I'll have to go to all your homes and inspect the homes. Inspect your Christmas trees. Kai, what would you put in a Christmas tree? Tinsel, yes. This one that I have here in my hand, there's something at the top of it that nobody's mentioned yet. The star, that's right. So there are different things that we put on our Christmas trees, but nobody mentioned something that I have with me today, and that's one of these. Yes, good man, Jake. It's a candy cane. Some trees that you would have in your home, if you're very, very fortunate, you might have one of these, and that is a candy cane. And you know, as I thought about Christmas and thought about today, I thought about some lessons that we can learn about a candy cane, some Christmas lessons that we can learn from a candy cane today. The first lesson is this. If you take a candy cane and you turn it upside down, you have a letter of the alphabet. Can anybody tell me what this letter is? Katie? It's a J. Now, can anybody tell me what the J stands for at Christmas at this time of year? Olivia? Jesus. Very, very good. The first lesson that we learn from the candy cane is Jesus. Of course, that is why we really celebrate Christmas. Yes, it's good to have a tree. It's nice to have turkey, and I'm sure we're all looking forward to that on Tuesday, and roast potatoes and all the rest of it. But the first and foremost thing we remember at Christmas is Jesus. Because that's really what Christmas is all about. In fact, you know what the word Christmas actually means? It means Christ sent forth, or Christ born. So when we think of Christmas, we think of Jesus, we think of him being born. And as Ellie quoted very, very well this morning, Matthew 1, verse 21, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." We remember that Christ was born, but he wasn't born just without a purpose. He was born to save his people from their sins. So the first lesson we learn from the candy cane, that we turned upside down, it's the letter J. Now this candy cane, there are two colours on it. Can anybody tell me these two colours? Emily. Red and white. So we'll take white first. The white would have been there, and then the red stripes probably would have been on after it. And when we think about the candy cane and we think about the colour white, that reminds us about something about Jesus Christ. When we think about the colour white, can anybody tell me, thinking now of the boys and girls here, can any of you tell me what the colour white means in the Bible? Oliver? Clean. Very, very good. Spot on. Clean. And when we think of the color white and the candy cane, and we think about Jesus, we think about the fact that, as Oliver has put it so well, that he was completely clean. He was pure. And that just simply means that he didn't sin. He couldn't sin. And the Bible tells us that he did no sin, and there was even nothing wrong that he said or that he'd done. You think about that, boys and girls. I'm sure that you'll know by now, and if you don't know, then you'll know today, that none of us is perfect. We all say wrong things, we all do wrong things, and we all think wrong and bad things. But when we think of Jesus Christ, what a wonderful thing to remember this morning as we think of the candy cane, that he did nothing wrong. He didn't even think anything wrong. He always did those things which were right. So when we think of the color white, we realize that Jesus was completely pure, but that we are not pure. Wonder if you've ever been out playing, boys and girls, and maybe you've just got a new outfit. Maybe it's Christmas time, or maybe it's the summer. And if you're boys, maybe you just go outside, go to the nearby green, kick football, and then you come back and it's dirty. Or if you're a girl, maybe you're growing out, you're climbing trees, you're playing out, and you come back again, your new clothes, they're completely dirty. And you come to the back door, and if you're anything like my mother, your mum would tell you to do something. She would tell you, take off all your old dirty clothes, go and get changed, go and have a wash, and then go and put your new clothes on. Well, when we become Christians, that's what happens to us spiritually. All of our sin, all of that which is dirty and unclean in our lives, it gets taken away, and we then have the cleanness, the whiteness, the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're reminded, yes, that there was another colour. There was red, not only white, but red. Now, when we think of red in the Bible, can any of the boys and girls tell me what maybe red would symbolise in the Bible? Emily. Means blood, that's right. The blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ is so, so important in the Bible because it speaks to us of his death. So his white speaks to us of how he lived, the colour white, but the red speaks to us of his death, because when he died on the cross, the Bible tells us that he shed his blood. And it reminds us today that it is only by the blood and by the sacrifice and by the death of Jesus Christ that we can be saved. So we can do our best, and it's good to come to Sunday school, it's good to come to church, it's good to do good things to other people, good to read our Bibles, good even to say our prayers. But those things will never save us. It's only by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In actual fact, there's a wonderful verse in the Bible. It's found in Isaiah 53 and verse 5. And it actually says this: with his stripes we are healed. With his stripes we are healed. And so when you think of the stripes there on the candy cane, the red stripes, then it should remind you of the blood and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whenever you hang your candy cane on a tree, well, you're not going to hang it like this because, well, it's not going to stay on. Maybe, I don't know, maybe a special tree, maybe it would. But certainly the tree that I have at home, if I was to try and hang my candy cane up like that, well, it's not going to stay on for too long. So you hang your candy cane on your tree, on a branch of your tree, like this. This looks like something. We know it's a candy cane. But it also looks like something that maybe people would use to help them. Can anybody tell me the shape of this, what it might look like? Sophia? Sorry? Yes, a shepherd's hook. I'm not going to get that at the moment, but I wasn't thinking of that. Think about everyday life. You would see mostly old people with these, but not always old people, and it helps them do something. Oliver? Walking stick. Very, very good. So the candy cane, the shape of the candy cane, it reminds us of a walking stick. I mean, you think about a walking stick, boys and girls. Really, whenever a person uses their walking stick and they lean on it, all of their weight is on the stick. The stick is the thing that's keeping them up. The stick is the thing that's helping them balance. And when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever we are saved, do you know what he is? Really, he is our walking stick. He helps us to walk with him. So we can depend on him just as someone would use their walking stick and they would lean on it and they would put all their weight on it. So we can depend on him to help us walk with him throughout life. Sophia then said, and rightfully so, that it's also the shape of a shepherd's crook. And that's very, very good. Because in the Bible, in Luke chapter 2, we read of shepherds. And they were out way far away in the hills, somewhere in Israel. And we read of an angel coming to those shepherds. And an angel actually told them that the baby Jesus, Jesus Christ, that he was going to be born in a city far, far away. He called it the city of David. And so an angel actually came and told the shepherds just exactly where the Lord Jesus was born. And so when we think of the shepherd's staff or the shepherd's crook, we think about direction, how the shepherds were led specifically to exactly the right place, the right stable where the Lord Jesus was born. And whenever we're saved, yes, we lean on the Lord Jesus. He's our walking stick. But it also reminds us that he directs us. Maybe, boys and girls, you want to know what to do in a certain circumstance or a certain happening in your life. Well, it reminds us that the Lord Jesus, he directs us. He directs us. And the amazing thing about it, and the shepherds didn't know that at this time, but the amazing thing about that is this. Whenever they were directed to the shepherd's stall, they were directed to the one who said, "I am the good shepherd." Because the Lord Jesus would later say in John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd." So the shepherds were directed to the good shepherd. So that's a good thing. So when we think about the shepherd's crook, we think about direction. But in the Bible, sometimes the shepherd, whenever he was leading and guiding his sheep, you know, when you look at farmers today, shepherds or people who look after sheep, they would go behind their sheep and they would push them on, give them a wee gentle nudge sometimes, give them a prod, and they would push them on to where they were going. But in Bible times, shepherds didn't do that. You know what they did? They actually walked in front of the sheep. So the sheep would look at the shepherd, and all the while, whenever a shepherd turned right or turned left, then they would be looking on and the shepherd would direct them. But you know, there's some times when the shepherd would take his sheep out up into the hills, there would be an animal would come, maybe like a wolf, maybe another fierce animal. And you know what the shepherd would do? He would take his crook and he would try and fend off the wolf or the angry animal with his crook. And so when we think of the shepherd's crook, yes, we think of direction, but we also think of protection. Protection. And of course, the Lord Jesus, he's our good shepherd. He protects us whenever we're Christians. He protects us. He makes sure that nothing bad happens to us. There's one final lesson from the candy cane. Whenever you eat the candy cane, is it soft? You know, like those nice mallows? No. What is it? Is it soft or is it hard? It's hard. Good man, Jake. It's hard. And I'll just show you that. I'll prove that to you. It's hard sometimes when maybe you get a rock. Someone's been away on holiday, maybe to Blackpool or something like that. They bring you back a rock. You'll hear old people say something like this. Oh, I couldn't possibly eat that. Oh, it would hurt my teeth or it would hurt my gums. And you know candy canes, they're hard as well. In actual fact, someone would say they're hard as a rock. And when you think of how hard the candy cane is, we think about the Lord Jesus again. We've learned many lessons about him, but we learned this, that he's our rock. He's our rock. He's firm. He's steadfast. Psalm 40 tells us, the psalmist David said, he put my feet or set my feet on a rock. So this Christmas, boys and girls, if you haven't a candy cane, you've all been very good, so I'll make sure you have a candy cane as you leave. You see me at the door whenever I'm shaking your hand, and I'll make sure you get a candy cane, and you can put your candy cane on your tree. And then hopefully that'll remind you of some lessons about the candy cane concerning Christmas today.